mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
Mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. If it's on the internet, it must be true. It's a worn joke containing a twisted truth. For all the good information to be found online, there is plenty of viciousness, conjecture, bullying, and lies that, posted in an instant, are forever part of a person's digital footprint. And there's very little one can do when targeted on the internet. It's a relatively new threat experienced to alarming effect by the poet, novelist, and writing professor James Lasdin. His new memoir is called Give Me Everything You Have, and it's a chilling account of being stalked by a former student. Since 2007, the woman he calls Nasreen has mounted an ever-escalating campaign to destroy Lasdin's personal and professional reputation through targeted hate mails and slanderous reviews and comments made online. James Lasdin joins us now to talk a little bit more about the book. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
Let us set up the story a little. Nasreen, as you call her, a former student, a naturally gifted writer, Iranian-American. A few years after graduating, she emails you looking for professional advice about a book she's working. So what happened next?
Yeah, she asked me to help her edit the book, and I wasn't able to do that, but I had thought very highly of her work, and I put her in touch with my agent. My agent didn't think she was ready to sign up, but passed her on to a freelance editor, and she began working with the editor. And in the course of this, she and I had a very amicable email correspondence. At a certain point, it became clear that she thought this was going to lead to some kind of affair. I made it very clear that I was happily married, and that seemed fine. She took it very graciously. And we continued corresponding for a while, but then the quantity of her emails just grew more and more and more, and I realized that there was something obsessive going on, and I answered fewer and fewer of them. I asked her to ease up, and she said she would, but then didn't. And eventually I just stopped answering them. And she continued sending me things for several months. They were pretty innocuous in themselves. I didn't read all of them. But suddenly, overnight, in the summer of 2007, she turned to hate mail, sent me these accusations of plagiarism, and then escalated to sexual misconduct. And then started accusing me and these two other women, my agent and the editor that she had worked with, of being part of a conspiracy to steal her work and sell it to other writers. And it just went on from there, and finally to threats of violence against me and my family and these two other women.
It took a decidedly anti-Semitic turn as well. You are Church of England, but from a Jewish family. Spreading accusations, how does one even begin to defend oneself against that kind of thing? She wrote to your new boss when you worked with another college. She hacked into your, didn't hack, she just changed your Wikipedia account. She changed your reviews on Amazon. What do you do?
There's not a lot you can do. I mean, sometimes with, if somebody posts a not just a bad review, but an offensive review, and a review that contains sort of accusations of the nature that she was posting, you can hit a report button, and sometimes it gets taken down. But not all sites have that. But you also you don't know where it's going to be. I mean, you become rather obsessive, or I did once this began. I mean, as a freelance writer, and I feel very vulnerable to this kind of attack. If somebody's posting allegations of whatever, plagiarism, sexual misconduct, you feel that you can be quite seriously damaged by it. And so you enter this strange zone of sort of Googling your own pages the whole time to find out what's going on. I write reviews for The Guardian, for instance, and one day I saw a comment from her accusing me of all sorts. Accusing me of having her drugged and raped. And I was able to get it down, but I don't know how long it had been up for, and I didn't want to spend my whole life sort of checking on these things. But there's not very much you can do.
And because you are a writer, James Lasdin, you, I guess, went inward with this. That's one of the things that really strikes me about this memoir, is your own self-interrogation, the feelings that her assault provoked in you, this dread and anxiety about who you are. But yet you seem kind of unwilling to admit that she's clearly mentally ill. Why?
Oh, I think she has some kind of personality disorder. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think that that really answers the question, at least to the degree that I was looking for answers. I mean, I think she was very... I mean, she stated at one point that she was setting out to ruin me. That was her aim. And she proceeded to try to do that in a very rational, methodical way. So even though the whole thing was, yes... Clearly, an attack from somebody who had some kind of mental imbalance. It wasn't the kind of chaotic behavior you associate with absolutely out of control madness. And she was very conscious of what she was doing. She was very deliberate about it, and I felt that she, you know, was capable of controlling it. So just to dismiss it all as, oh well, she's got, you know, borderline personality, which I think she probably has that disorder, didn't seem an adequate explanation or accounting of what was going on as I experienced it. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I mean, I didn't want to get into kind of amateur diagnosis. I preferred to look at what was going on through the lens of what I do know, which is literature, myth, poetry. And to me, that was more interesting.
And you look at through this frame of literature through the ages, and at the same time, you were working on a novel that became The Horned Man. Now, this is about a middle-aged Englishman who teaches at a New York area college, outwardly virtuous, but a stalker of strangers himself, extremely sexually repressed, who beats his wife. There's a whole question here of who a person is on the inside and the outside. I'm wondering if her assaults against you made you wonder who you were.
Well, that novel, The Horned Man, was actually years before any of this began, and that was one of the uncanny things about it, was that the plot of that book was being weirdly... in some way recapitulated in my life by this event, because he's accused of all those things, and here I was 10 years later being accused of them myself. Mm-hmm. It sent me inward. I mean, there are two characters in this account. There's Nazreen, and I try to understand her as much as I possibly can, and to think and feel my way into her motivation. And there's me, and I felt I needed to get myself on the page. And when something like this happens to you, this has gone on for over 5 years. And when something of this intensity and relentlessness happens to you, it's very hard to dismiss it as just a kind of weird piece of bad luck that just struck you for no reason at all. You start to think, well, what did I do? What is it about me that might have attracted this, that might have brought this on? And so I investigate my own role in it to the extent that I had one. I mean, I don't think anything that I did could possibly account for a kind of 5-year assault of this nature, but I do feel implicated in certain ways.
I'm speaking with poet and author James Lasden about his experience dealing with a former student and a digital stalker, which is detailed in depth in his new memoir, Give Me Everything You Have. Couple things that you said there. One is that, you know, this is plausible in our culture, right? This is a kind of well-trod power dynamic, that a professor has an affair with a student, that they are appealing to them. And it's interesting because you have absolutely no power over her accusations. And this is...
Yeah, and she never accused me. I mean, we never had an affair, and she's very clear that we never had an affair.
No, but she accused you of rape.
She accused me of, yes, having her drugged and raped. It was all rather sort of specific. She was trying to square two things. One, that we never had any kind of involvement, and the other, that she seemed to want to associate me with this incredibly damaging word, rape. And she squared it by this strange fantasy that another woman who had been a colleague at the mm-hmm. college where I taught her had organized to have her drugged and raped so that we could then go on and steal her work. I mean, it didn't really make any sense. And I don't think she was all that interested in creating a very plausible scenario, but she was interested in smearing, in using words that are enormously damaging, especially to a guy, to have your name linked with a word like that, you feel very, very vulnerable. Mm. And I think that was really what she was interested in doing.
Well, it's interesting. You've changed names in the book to protect identities, even of your stalker. Now, why protect her identity when she worked so hard to assassinate yours?
I mean, the book is not in any way an attack on her. It's not an attempt to get sort of revenge or anything like that. I didn't see a need to identify her. I assumed that she would probably step forward and identify herself. But because she was very public about all this and seemed to want to spread her accusations as far and wide as she could, and that's up to her. But I didn't feel it was up to me to do that.
Mm. Has there been any public response from her?
No, not yet. I haven't heard anything.
In such a twisted way, she really became your muse, I guess. There's one point in the book when you say, why, after being unable to write that story for 20 years, was I suddenly able to write it when I did? Was it because...
Well, that was one particular story, yeah, her first accusation was that I had stolen something, she never specified what, from her in a story of mine. And I looked at that story and I tried to think what possible connection she could have drawn. And there's nothing in the story that isn't mine. I mean, it's entirely mine. But it was a story I had been wanting to write for 20 years based on a rather curious incident that occurred in New York when I first arrived 20 years ago. And there possibly was something about her as a human being and her correspondence with me that had made me look at the story in a different way. So I was sort of interested in conceding as much as I possibly could to her case to see if there really was anything there. And there certainly was no plagiarism, but maybe something about just being in touch with her for that brief period of a purely kind of amicable correspondence did trigger something. Mm. I'm perfectly prepared to admit that. I mean, that's how it works with writing. You know, you have these ideas. You go with them a certain distance. Maybe you get stuck, and then something happens in your life that perhaps shows you how to take them forward. I think all writers work a little bit like that.
And now writing this book, what has this done for you? Has it brought you to some peace about this, some reckoning?
Yeah, it has. I mean, it hasn't sort of ended the story itself, but it was the first, beginning to write it was the first time I got any kind of relief from it. I mean, it really did take over my life. It was very overwhelming. And once I started writing, I began to feel at least I could get some distance from it. And that's what it's given me. I mean, an ability to move on in my own mind, even though the actual situation is not resolved.
James Lasnon, I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
James Lasnon, a poet and author of The Horned Man. His newest memoir, his newest book, is called Give Me Everything You Have on Being Stalked. And you can find out much more about the book on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Stay with us. We're going to meet the cast of a stage production of To Kill a Mockingbird that's opening in the Seacoast region this weekend. Turns out they will all have their own backstories to tell, of course. And that's when Word of Mouth continues.